Our special guest live in studio taking right your calls is Senate Minority Leader Len Fasano. Len, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. Good morning, Brad. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. It's very nice of you guys.
Truly, it is an honor and a privilege for you to be with us.
I bet it is.
You know, so many questions come up and they get asked. And, you know, nobody can speak for anybody else, you know, which is why we try to have you on as often as we possibly can. And you and many others, for that matter. But it's good to have people at least have the opportunity to ask you directly without having Brad or I, hey, ask them this or ask them that, you know, when you call in every 2 or 3 weeks that you routinely do, which is why we're opening up the phone lines. And it's really the listener who actually gets to conduct, at least for a moment or two, an interview, like a question or two that they would like to ask you. There's no screening. There's no filtering other than the normal FCC regulations of no using profanities. And every, of course, we have a very respectful audience. Nobody gets, if they get hot tempered, I get involved and say, no,
but they're
crazy.
Involved. They're really involved.
Well, they are. They are.
Which is good.
Yeah. So we have a phone call already, right? We're going to go to the phones. We have,
okay, David in Middletown. David, good morning. Good morning.
Brad and Gary, good morning. Mr. Fasano, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
Not too good. Listen, I have a question for you. First of all, I want to say thank you for coming on the program, and thank you for taking our calls. The question I have, Mr. Fasano, is why do the Republicans want to borrow money to pay for roads, bridges, and highways when we have a gas tax, a petroleum gross receipts tax, and hundreds of millions of dollars that our state collects from the federal government every year because we don't have tolls? Those three monies total up to well over $1 billion a year. If that money was put to where it's supposed to go, all right, we don't need tolls and we don't need to borrow money. That's the message you should be, you, Themis Claridis, and J.R. Romano, the Republican leadership. That's the message you guys should be putting out to the people of Connecticut. Not that that we have to borrow money.
David, thank you very much. And it's a great question, and it's a complicated procedure that we have. So let's just say this. We do get money from our gas tax, and we get money from various fees, et cetera, that go in the transportation fund. However, that is not enough money to pay for the improvements that we have, because our expenses are also there. And the expenses that are there are, we do subsidize, whether it's right or wrong, it is what it is. We do subsidize rail. We do subsidize bus. Plus, we have, over the years, the Democrats have moved the fringe and salary from the general fund into the special transportation fund, which is the fund where all those things that you talk about go into.
But I got to respectfully disagree with you. All right. If you look at the governor's plan, he wanted to spend $21 billion over 20 years. All right. If our state collects over $1 billion a year from those three funds, all right, that more than equals, all right, what he wants to spend, all right, then I would even say that the amount of spending he wants to do is overinflated, all right. If you look back at what they, I think it was Governor Malloy, had budgeted, all right, for the mix, master project. All right. It was $7 billion. All right. That ended up costing $220 million. All right. They're only $6.8 billion out of whack. Okay. So I don't even buy the, on those inflated numbers.
Okay, right. So I agree with you, David.
Money. All right. You guys need to go and educate people and say, hey, all right, people in Connecticut, you're getting ripped off by the Democrats, and but we the Republicans are here to put a stop to it.
All right, David, let him answer your question.
That's you're putting out.
So, David, just to give you an example, 2020, the revenue is about $1.7 billion. Our expenses are a little bit over $1 billion. So when you take the 1.7 and you take out the $1 billion, you only have 700 million to use. And you got to keep your, you got to keep a certain amount of money in the STF, otherwise the feds won't give you federal money. So it gets a little more complicated.
How about cut spending? How about come up with ways to be more economical and more efficiently run? All right. How about eliminate the pension spike?
So if I can, if I can, we're talking two separate funds. One is the general fund, and one is the STF. So what we're doing is, I want to be clear, we're not taking money out of the STF. Or money out of our rainy day fund and spending it on transportation. We are not doing that. We are taking our money from our rainy day fund that you've been overtaxed, that's sitting there and earning 2% or less, and we're paying down pension liabilities that are running at 7 to 8% liability to the state. So it's like having money in your savings account and having a credit card that's running at 23%, and you have your savings account, you're getting less than 1% interest. So you pay off your liabilities. That's what's freeing up some money. And then from that money, we are going to put cash into our construction plan so that we don't have to borrow as much. So we don't borrow as much, we're paying down on liabilities, and we're ending up bringing our infrastructure up to date. And I agree, $21 billion is way too much money. And I would even argue with the $18 billion we came up with is probably a lot of money. But we put in a board that's going to vet all these projects so you don't run into the problems that you're afraid of and I'm afraid of.
Oh, thank you for taking a call, but I still respectfully don't agree with borrowing money. All right, we've got the money. We just got to have enough courage and enough people to go and stand up and say, hey, all right, these three funds go towards roads, bridges, and highways. All right, then you guys are going to have to make, all right, spending cuts in order to pay for your pension liabilities. That's the right way to do it. That's what the people of Connecticut deserve. All right, we're the second highest tax state in the country. We deserve better than what we are getting.
All right. Thank you for the phone call, David. Go ahead. You can address that, and we'll move on.
Well, just that, you know, he's right that we have to do some kind of control over our pensions and our liabilities. We've been saying that for years. And the only way that's going to happen is you got to get the Republicans in control of the House and Senate. That's the only way it's going to happen. And we've been talking, our plan, our budget plan way back when talked about changing pensions. It is, you know, I don't mind giving state employees a good pension, but not the best pension in the country times 10.
And not at the expense of crumbling the state into bankruptcy.
That's right. And you got to stay. What happens is our STF fund is reviewed by bondholders when you get the money and by the feds. And if we don't stay in a state of good repair, or at least a plan to stay in a state of good repair, we lose a lot of money.
Right.
For every dollar, we get $3 of federal funding. Well, we don't want to lose that because that's grant money. We don't pay that back. That is good money. It's matching money. So that's free money if you can for the federal government. But you fall out of, say, good repair, you lose that money. So you'll be very careful.
888-574-2723. We have Len Fasano, Senate Minority Leader here in our state. He is with us all hour long, live in the studio, taking your questions directly. So, listen, we heard the governor's revised, but we heard your plan in response to the governor's revised plan for tolls here in the state of Connecticut. You know, he wants to do 14 tolls on 14 bridges throughout the state. The Democrats also came out with a plan saying, well, no, we're going to go do trucks. But then that counters what the governor had since learned between the campaign trail and him taking office, which is that we cannot toll trucks. But yet now the Democrat, and you would think everybody learned that by now, but the Democrats come up with their own plan saying, well, we're going to break it down from 14 down to 12, because, well, let's face it, there's no trucks that are allowed on the Merritt Parkway, and not many trucks are really driving down Route 9 because of the traffic lights in Middletown. So can you speak to that a little bit?
Sure. You know, here's the thing. First of all, I appreciate the fact that they threw out a concept.
Right.
It's not a plan. They have not given us one number. They have not told us where the $150 million is coming from, who came up with those numbers, how much they charge them per truck. Is it just big trucks? Is it medium-sized trucks? Is it different rate for big trucks? Is it a different rate for medium-sized trucks? Are they going to have a, if it is the smaller trucks, like the guy who fixes the air conditioning units or the electrician, are we charging those trucks? And if we are going to give an easy pass, what's the credit for that? So that wasn't a plan. That was just something out of the air. So I'm not exactly sure what that is. But also, I would argue, you're walking into a lawsuit. Rhode Island is in their lawsuit now.
It's been 2 years deep.
And you have to show the federal, if you want to use the low interest rate loans, and back to David's question, we're going to be using loans that I think is a good idea at 0.8% as low as, and as high
it's
as...
unheard of.
It's ridiculous. That's free money. Or as high as 2.2%, which is
still pretty good.
Which is still very good. Why not? Every business in the world would leverage those loans. So, but to do that, you have to show a guaranteed form of income. Well, trucks that under litigation is not a guaranteed form of income. And then number two, we all know with a flick of a switch, it's going to be cars. We all know that's that's where they're heading for. You know, fool me once, shame on me.
That's
fool
right.
me once, shame on you. And we already went down this path. Trucks only. Then it was, we can't do that. We're going to do cars and trucks. Now we're back to trucks with a wink and a nod. But we're going to get the cars. I can't support
that. And there's such
a...
Go ahead, Brad.
Can this be straightened out? It just seems people get so frustrated. It just goes on and on and on. And again, there are things that you folks will do that the other side won't do. And that's what's happened to Connecticut. And that this is the sad part.
Well, I would say this. One, look, we are not going to be in favor of tolls. So we will have a meeting with the leaders and we'll figure out where to go from there.
All right, Len, we got to interrupt you. I'm so sorry to do that, but we got to take a quick break.
And we have got the next one on the line, Joe from Harwinton. You've heard from him from time to time.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. Good morning.
Joe, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Great. How are you this morning?
Oh, just good. Glad glad you guys gave us this opportunity to talk to Senator Fasano. I guess my number one question is, it's a yes or no question. Would you vote on any proposal that included tolls?
No.
Yes or no?
No.
Put him on. Go ahead. Please answer that question.
Yeah, no.
You would? So you would not? Okay.
No.
I wish you would have made that perfectly clear when you when all of this started.
So, Joe, can I explain?
Joe, let him explain.
Sure.
Let him explain.
So here's the issue. I believe that if you say no right out of the box, even though you're against something like that, what I said was, look, I find it very difficult to do tolls, and that's where I kind of stood. One, because I want to understand the governor's plan. I want to see what he could do. I wanted to see where he was going. Number two is I wanted to see, I was fairly confident we could come up with a plan that would not require tolls. And I wanted to see, to come up with a plan. I had to understand his plan. I had to talk to them to figure out what they were doing. And then the onus was on me to come up with a plan that didn't have tolls. And once I came up with a plan that didn't have tolls, I was more confident saying, listen, I can go out there and say, with without any bashfulness, to say that no tolls and I got a plan that could do it without tolls. In that building, if you come out and say no tolls, period, right off the bat, within 30 seconds, no tolls, your voice becomes muted in that building. And that's where I can only do the best effect is being a leader to show there are other alternatives not to have tolls. But if you say no right off the bat, and then you're out there trying to figure out a plan, the capital that gives us the megaphones, the Capitol Press, et cetera, say, well, he's against tolls, so anything he comes out with is going to be probably not a great plan because he just doesn't like tolls. But if you say, look, I want to look at this more deeply and I want to figure out a plan, and then you say, this is why I don't want tolls, because I have an idea, and by the way, it works, and by the way, it's fiscally prudent, taking money out of our savings account that's earning 2% and paying off debt that's 8% and paying our liabilities down and giving us cash flow and helping the state get out of the hole it's in with the debt. But if you can't get that message over the walls at the Capitol, you're not going anyplace. So that's the reason why I did it that way. And you could argue with the strategy, but being up there this long, I know how to look at things to get my best message out. And we have now come out with Faster Connecticut, which is a great plan, which doesn't have tolls, which a lot of people are backing. And I think we can move forward to state of Connecticut. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Joe.
The problem with that message, sir, is that we've also been around long enough to know what politicians say and what politicians mean. And even though you could be genuine and stuff by saying that, what everybody hears is that, oh, yeah, I'm against it. And yeah, I'm against unhealthy eating, but I also eat a box of jelly donuts in the morning too. You know, that's what basically people hear.
Joe,
that's the message that got sent across to a lot of people, is that, yeah, I'm against it and I'd like to read the proposal. And a lot of people read between the lines, because we've been around politicians long enough to know that, yeah, read between the lines that he's against it, but eventually, you know, twist his arm enough or maybe reduce the tolls enough and he'll vote for it.
Joe, that's
what we hear.
That's a very good point, and it's a valid point. You and I have spoken about this before. Quite frankly, Len, people just don't trust people in politics.
And I
understand that.
And I understand that too. And that's the reason why, for me, I have always taken a position that I believe that, you know, it's easy to be liked, it's hard to be thoughtful. And I've always tried to take a position that's always been thoughtful. Joe, I hear exactly what you're saying. I know in my heart what I wanted to do, and I know in my heart where I wanted to be. And as a leader of my caucus, I know where I expressed to my caucus where I was, and my caucus understood exactly what I was doing, that I would not support the toll plan, but they also understood that I needed an obligation to come up with an alternative. So I'm telling you that I appreciate the skepticism that you would have, and well-founded given the era that we live in.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that, but I am telling you to me, plus whoever else is listening, that no, I cannot support tolls.
So it would be a definite no vote then,
It would be a definite no vote. Even okay, on this truck thing. Look at the Governor Lamont's toll plan, well, people don't really. We put a lockbox in. Remember we all voted on that lockbox?
I remember that, yeah.
Right? The money goes to transportation fund. So any money in transportation fund must go to transportation. Well, in the Governor Lamont's plan, $14 million of toll money is going to towns that have the tolls.
That's right.
What happened to the lockbox? What happened to the lockbox?
Right.
So those are the things, right? Those are the things that, you know, we have a better plan. We have a solid plan. We have a plan that makes sense. Is it perfect? No. But we can't let the perfect get in the way of the good. Go ahead, Joe.
Can you guys go one step further with that plan and basically say where you guys could cut savings? That's the other thing a lot of people are looking for is, yeah, it's well enough that we're not doing tolls. And I could see your point with the rainy day fund, but in nowhere do we ever see anybody saying, let's cut something. Let's at least audit everything that we've got going on. Let's see where the money is being wasted. Let's see the money, you know, where we can cut costs. Let's see where we could get some compromises. Let's look at those things before we even raid the lockbox.
So,
but that never seems to happen, even with the Republicans. And that's what a lot of people on I want to say my side of the aisle, but on my side of the aisle are looking for. We're looking for that kind of leadership from the Republicans, and it's sadly we're not seeing a lot of it like that.
So let me just say this: when we did our Republican budget, we had a lot of cuts. We had a lot of changes to pensions. We had a lot of things like that. That was our proposal way back when. So we do a lot of things like that. But let me just say real fast this, Joe. I did not want this debate to be twisted to say Republicans want to cut, because this is how, whether we cut the fat out or not out of the general fund for the tolls debate. If we cut the fat out, we're arguing we could cut this, we cut that, and they're real cuts and they're workable cuts. The Capitol press, they will do this. There's no question about it. And the play out there would be, see, Republicans want to cut and the Democrats would switch it. Municipal aid causing property taxes to go up. They want to cut elderly services. They want to cut Medicaid. They want to cut all these services because they don't want tolls. Then the debate becomes, cuts to social services versus tolls. I wanted this to be pure. We don't need tolls because we've overtaxed people. Let's put the money in back into our infrastructure. Let's invest it in our state. Let's stop pickpocketing the people's state of Connecticut to make our transportation system work. You give us the reins, the public out there, you will see us do exactly what you want us to do. We are the minority party. Pounding the door on an issue that I believe we lose on won't get us forward because we're not going to be able to make that click. This is catching a little bit of fire because it makes sense. And the issue now becomes more pickpocketing of people or taking already tax dollars and investing it like you'd invest in your home and any other capital that you want to improve without having to take another dollar out of your pocket. So I was trying to keep this debate very clean. And although I totally agree with you, we need to have cuts in the general fund, and we offer them year in and year out.
Thank you for the call, Joe. Thank
Much
you.
Appreciated. We're going to take a quick break.
Jerry in Hamden. Jerry, good morning, good morning, good morning.
Hello.
Yes, hello. Go ahead.
Hey, Len, I got a question for you. I'm in the rental business. I rent trucks, you know. We have a lot of companies in Connecticut that rent cars and trucks. I just want to know, it's going to be a bookkeeping nightmare for my company. I run about 50 trucks up on the highway. I supply them to all the contractors that, you know, do the bridge work and so on. And I want to know if there's anybody that I could get my, you know, talk to about. It's going to be a bookkeeping nightmare for my company. Any given night during the week, usually 5 days a week, I run about 50 trucks, and they, all the contractors run up and down the highways, 91, 395. It's going to be a bookkeeping nightmare for me because if I'm the guy that's going to get billed, even if I go along with the electronic, you know, you can get that electronic to put in your truck so that when it goes through,
Senator,
the tolls, I'm wondering who would I be able to talk to, myself and all the rental companies. It's like if I got 50 trucks running and they go, some of these trucks go back and forth through the tolls 7, 8, 9 times a night because I supply the Scorpion. I supply the truck that protects the workers. It's got a cushion on it. It drops down instead of if a passenger car or a truck comes through the pattern, they hit my truck first. We have to supply two for every job. My point is, it's going to be a bookkeeping nightmare for me to figure out how to bill these people, not only for me. What about all the car rental companies? I mean, it's going to be impossible, I think.
Okay, Jerry, let's let our senator, let him address this question.
So let me say this, Jerry. I still believe if they thought, they being the Democrats and the governor, believed that a truck-only toll would pass the House and the Senate, they would have been calling special session. We'd be in right now. So I honestly believe that, and this may be a little premature, but I honestly believe a truck-only toll plan will not be brought in the Senate unless a Republican or two votes for that. And I, as I told Joe, and I'll tell you, I don't believe there's any Republican votes in the Senate for tolls. I will actually say more definitively, there are not any votes in the Republican Senate for tolls. I will also say I have expressed that to Governor Lamont's folks yesterday, that there will be no votes in our Senate for truck tolls. So I don't see that happening. But if it does come to fruition, which I don't see it, but if it does for trucks only, I understand your concerns. And I would have you contact me. My office is in New Haven, right next door to you over there. So contact me and I will get you a hold of whoever it is to help you work through those administrative difficulties. But right now, I don't see it happening.
All right. Thanks for the phone call, by the way. But I have a follow-up question to that because mathematically, do these Senate Republican votes even matter because you're in the minority?
Well, you know, according to what I hear at the Capitol, tolls would passed the House, they say, and I put a question mark there, but at least that's the claim. And if it got to the Senate, it would not pass the Senate.
Which tells me that there are Senate Democrats that would not support tolls.
So there's Senate Democrats that not support tolls no matter what happens. And there's some Senate Democrats who won't support tolls unless they have cover from Republican state senators. So it becomes a bipartisan toll vote. I don't see at all any Senate Republican votes for tolls. Therefore, I don't see the vote at the Capitol. And that's the reason why tolls were stopped, because no matter what, and I appreciate what Joe is saying, is that Senator Looney knew, because I told him, there were no votes for tolls in the Senate Republicans chamber. There were just no votes. So he knew he could never bring that vote up. So as a result of never bringing that vote up, that's why it never came up, because he really knew the truth that we did not have any votes in the Senate.
Where does Senator Looney stand on tolls?
I think Senator Looney, he'll tell you with a little bit of a chuckle. He was a toll collector in his back in the day.
Oh, is that right?
Which is the most apropos job you could have for Senator Looney. But he is definitely in favor of tolls. I mean, just today or yesterday, he came out and said, well, you know, we should do trucks only. And oh, by the way, we should get other revenue like gaming and marijuana in there as well. He just wants more and more revenue to the state. That's what he believes in. It's just his philosophy. Mm-hmm. And I know Marty very, very well. And he's a nice guy. But we could not be on more different planets with respect to philosophies.
Yeah. Let's go back to the phones, Brad.
Peter in Farmington. Peter, hello, hello.
Hello, Brad. Thank you for taking my call.
Go ahead.
I just got a question for Lynn on, let's just say this did move forward. Why does the state of Connecticut, why don't they go out to bid for union and non-union workforce and keep costs down? It seems like everything's driven by the vote. It's a tangled web. And the unions end up on the winning side.
So what's very interesting is this, that in the plan, Faster Connecticut, I should say, in the Faster Connecticut, in that plan, there is an issue of bringing in a private-public partnership to do the construction. That's done in many areas. Florida does it, where you say, look, this is how much this is going to cost, period, and we'll give you this, and you go figure it out, and you would have various groups bidding on that project. And I think that's where you could see some movement in that area. That's something we are still looking at. I'm wrapping my arms around. There's a couple knowledgeable people in Florida that we've reached out to. And I think that start doing private-public partnerships that are ones for construction, I think start to get to the issue that you're talking about, driving costs down.
Well, Len, I just got a comment. I hear the workforce calling in to various shows, and they say they comprise 85% of the workforce, and they don't even get to bid. And what you just said sounds good, but it just is talk and talk cheap.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is in our plan for Faster Connecticut. We do it differently than the governor's plan. The governor's plan goes from Rhode Island to New York as one project, and therefore he has to amortize everything over 27 years. Faster Connecticut allows projects to be separated so that different companies of different sizes can work on different projects. There's some companies who can't do, you know, the Gold Star Bridge, but there's some smaller private companies that can do a small bridge in Fairfield. Our plan would open up different bid aspects and a more variety of bid aspects. And I think we should look at bidding these projects. We shouldn't be able to do them in-house. Even engineering really should be bidded out. A lot of the money at DOT gets wasted because the plans aren't ready to be built. Well, we should be farming those out, and we should be getting other outside engineers to look at this and put the plans together. That's done in many, many, many states. But Connecticut, there is a stranglehold on Connecticut that we need to break, and I've talked about that a lot. Look, the reason the unions were behind the toll issue wasn't because they're looking at the infrastructure in Connecticut per se. I'm sure that was one of the issues, but it was also a job issue. And what we need to do is to say we need to do more with less. Faster Connecticut is a way of getting to that end game.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call, Peter.
Thank you very much.
Part of the Faster Connecticut plan, Len, it calls for going into the rainy day fund, correct? And there's a lot of people that would say, ooh, do we really want to do that? But we also hear that, I don't know about an all-time high, but it's at an unusual high as far as the money that is in the transportation fund. So how much of the transportation fund would be utilized for the transportation project for Faster Connecticut? And how much would we keep in there for, in fact, a future rainy day?
So when we did the last bipartisan budget, what we did is we said, look, we're going to have this rainy day fund, and anything above 5%, so it's based upon the cost of government, anything above 5% and below 15%, the legislature could vote as a majority to do two things, either pay down pension of teachers or pay down pensions of union employees to remove that liability. Over 15%, it automatically does it. But between 5 and 15%, we could do that to pay off liabilities. So Faster Connecticut says, let's take that money, because we do have a record, way above the old record, of $2.7 billion at the end of 2020 in our rainy day fund. $2.7 billion in our rainy day fund, earning 1%. So we're not taking that money and putting it into transportation. We're taking that money and paying off liabilities, like your credit card, giving you more monthly income to use as you wish. And we're taking that monthly income, leveraging it with low interest rate federal loans, and doing transportation without tolls. That's what we're really doing, and that's a big advantage.
Now, this is what we need, and I think one of the big frustrations, I hear it all the time, is that you can't get it because the Democrats will always be running the show. I think that the time has come, and I know there are many people, some Democrats too, that think the time has come that we need a change, because it's become too one-sided and it's just not fair to people.
And, you know, it really, and we saw that this year more than ever. When we were 18-18 and almost tied in the House, yeah. You look at the legislation and the budgets that went through. Don't forget, the budget that went through when we were 18-18, almost tied in the House, we cut taxes on Social Security. We cut taxes on pension. Yeah. We put a revenue over $3.1 billion goes into the rainy day fund. That's why rainy day fund's at historic levels,
right,
is because of the bipartisan budget. We put a spending cap. You can't spend more than X. In fact, they used to spend every dollar. Now you have to spend down to 98%. So you use 2% automatic cushion in our budget. We have a bonding cap, an allocation cap. That all came when the numbers were close. As soon as the last election went through, which I was very disappointed, because it wasn't about Connecticut, it was about Washington.
Yeah.
And people cut their nose to spite their face. There's now this big swing. Now we had the minimum wage go up. Now we had paid family leave that, if you look, no one has done the numbers to determine if it's affordable. There's aspects of paid family leave that we can make volunteer, which makes a lot of sense. And I'll give credit to folks like Rob Sampson and others to come up with that, which we endorse. But they said, no, we're doing it this way. They did a budget. You know what? All these times, they never consulted one Republican. That is disgusting. So we put in a good budget that for the first time put in safeguards, and that's why we have a huge budget reserve.
Are you surprised, or were you surprised, in the outcome of the 2018 election? We were coming off of a governor who was very unpopular, and would we constantly, I know as a state legislator for the 4 years up until January of 2019, we would always hear from constituents on really even soft Democrats, so to speak, that we need a change. It's been one party rule for 40 years. You know, let's have the Republicans get a shot at it. The writing was on the walls, and it seems like the stars were aligned, if you don't mind me using that as an example, where it would be the Republicans' turn in 2018. and yet we took a step back because both the House and the Senate, we lost seats. Number one, was that a surprise to you? And number two, going forward for the next election, which, by the way, Trump, who lost Connecticut, is also on the ballot. How are Republicans feeling for next year in 2020?
Well, so let's talk about the last election. Okay. Last election was very disappointing, and it was disappointing. You know, we lost three good senators out on the west side.
We did.
We lost Scott France been there forever, Tony Boucher, and Mike McLaughlin.
Yeah.
And but that part of Connecticut really turned anti-Trump. And you look, and they were very active, very active.
Oh, and there for a long time, too.
Exactly. And they were very active, and that was not based upon what we did here in Connecticut, and that was not based upon them as individuals or how they worked as state senators, because they were all very, very active. That was very disheartening, I would say. So 2020, you know, the question is, I think the Democrats were playing their hands with this impeachment thing going on. I think that's a big overplay. And I think people are realizing a little buyer remorse, I think, to some extent, saying, you know, maybe we did focus too much on Washington. And Trump is going to be on a ticket and people will make that decision. But when you get to Connecticut, you need to say, this is about Connecticut. Electing Len Fasano or any other Republican in the House and the Senate is about Connecticut. It's not about Washington. And I think people are going to be hopefully more laser focused on that issue more than ever before. And maybe that's going to make a difference in 2020.
Well, we hope. We hope. Some people can't discern between the two, though.
Remember what Dan Harr wrote in his article, that 2021 is going to be the toll year. Well, 2021 will be a toll year if the Democrats keep these numbers after 2020. So Dan Harr is right. That's the run on.
Interesting. 888-574-2723. We're running out of time, but we do have Senate Minority Leader Len Fasano in for the entire 8 o'clock hour. You're listening to Brad Davis and Gary Byron. Hopefully you can join us with your phone call as well for a question for Len Fasano. It's just, there. You mentioned something a moment ago, too, about Martin Looney, Senate Majority Leader, and going in for legalizing marijuana, recreational marijuana. Do you see, just got 30 seconds before we have the break, do you see that becoming an issue and finally getting voted on in the short session of 2020?
No, I think the short session of 2020 is going to be, you know, flowers, puppy dogs, and rabbits.
Because it's an election year.
Yeah. And if you look at SB1, I'll say it real fast, I know you're going to break, but if you look at election years, it's always pro-business, pro people, you know, good stuff, fluffy. That's what it is, and that's what they'll do.
Yeah, that's typical. Well, because it's a short session too, Brad.
Absolutely.
Instead of starting in January and going through June, we start in February and we end in May. I told you, I made you a promise earlier. I'm going to give you the last 5 minutes. You have a monologue. You can do anything you'd like to do. If there's anything that's coming down the pipeline, or is there a special session, and yada yada yada, it's all yours.
So, you know, we have a bunch of issues still left on the game board that I don't know what they're doing with. We've got the hospital deal that apparently we still have to make a vote on. I'm told that we're not going to go into session until 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th. That's still hanging out there. We have the bonding that's still hanging out there. Municipalities have used for their roads, their snowplow money. Well, now we're getting into snow. That's a problem. We still have this issue about transportation. We can't kick this out. We need to do it without tolls, and we need to look. I'm not saying our plan is chiseled in stone, but certainly our plan is the plan that I think should be modeled. And the other thing is, we still have this waiter waitress issue where these restaurants have been sued on tip credit. And the Democrats have said, we got to do this. And the unions have come in and said no. And they don't have a dog in a fight, but they got a headlock on that building. So those are issues that are out there. And let me just say, in this plastic bag, I've said this when I was at a few editorial boards, which is, look, if you had a dime in your hand and you're in your car and you lost it between your seat cushions, you probably wouldn't look for it. You probably look around and it's between the seat cushions. Right. You drop it on a dirty floor at a restaurant, gets all sticky, you probably wouldn't pick it up. But people would rather juggle their groceries off their foot then pay 10 cents for a plastic bag. That's because they had enough. And that's what the Democrats are misreading. So when we talk about more revenue streams, when we talk about tolls, we talk about trucks, people get it. They've just had enough. They want government out of their pocket. They want us to, and Joe was right when he said they want us to look at government and streamline it. But that's going to take a majority party of Republicans to get in there and say, let's do what we have to do and bring sanity back to government. Our quasi-corporations are out of control. Look at the lottery. Look at the Port Authority. We have to get control over them. So there's a lot of issues out there. But you're not going to change unless you get the majority being Republicans who say, just give us the reins for a couple of years and see what we can do.
What are the chances? How realistic is that? What are the chances of that occurring in both the House and the Senate?
It's up to the people. It's up. Look, what I think people mistake is they are very, very aggressive Democrats out there who work hard. And Chris Murphy has well-funded these folks with a lot of money. And they're very good on social media, and they're very good at organizing. And the unions, I was at a meeting where a union leader said, I was out getting an award for something, where a union leader said, know what the key is? The key is we need to get more union people elected so that they can be favorable to union contracts. Now, whether that's right or wrong, they have every right to do that, and I don't have a problem with that. But Republicans need to say, you know, we have to get active. We have to make sure we turn off our votes, and we got to get people to the voting booth.
My final question, and just a real simple answer and short answer, actually. The chances of any form of tolling coming down the pipeline that you foresee, let me ask you this way. Do you foresee a toll bill coming before the legislature for a vote?
I would say you never say never in that building. I highly doubt it, given where we are at this moment. And if they're looking for Republican votes, particularly in the Senate, the answer is they won't have any. So I just don't see it.
The 10 cents per bag, right? Is there a 1 cent tax on that?
I think it's just 10 cents. But if you buy a bag, the paper bag from the store,
yeah,
there's a tax on that paper bag.
Of like a penny. Look at that.
Don't tax anything.
All right. Senate Minority Leader for the full hour, Len Fasano. Thank you so much for being with us.